Welcome to Unsightly Sessions. I'm Felicia.
And I'm Deb.
Today we're visiting with Danny Lawrence from St. Louis, a member of the Missouri Council of the Blind. Danny has a powerful story about vision loss, independence, and community.
Hi, Danny. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Well, I've known you for a little while, but I don't think I've ever talked to you about your vision loss journey. Would you feel comfortable talking about that and telling us how that all started and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting story. I'm originally from Kansas City, a family of four, and my story was like this. At the age of 12 years old, on the 4th of July, I was playing with fireworks, and the firework of my choice at that time was M80. And somehow I was trying to light the fuse, and the fuse would not light. Then all of a sudden, it lit all at once. I tried to throw it away from out of my hand. And the sound of the explosion snapped my retinas. I was born with detached retinas. If anyone does not know what retinas are, the retina is the thin string that's between your eye that goes to your brain. So whatever your eye sees, the message goes through the retina to the brain. Where my eyes, both of my eyes had a little tear in it. So at this time, I went to the hospital and they looked at me and they told my mother that I had to go to an emergency experimental surgery. And the name of the surgery was called rebuckling the retina. And I do believe at this time I was a guinea pig for the surgery. Today, if you get go through the surgery of this procedure, it's like 90% correctable. But I guess I was a guinea pig because they tell me I don't even have pupils. I'm like, I don't have pupils? Oh my God. So that's a little alarming. So I do wear sunglasses, not to freak no one out, probably. But during this time, you would think that someone would be alarmed and all this kind of stuff. And I would say the earlier that you go through a crisis or the earlier that you learn a different language, the more easier it is to understand the concept. I think that it's more easier to go blind at the age of 12 than it is to go to the age of 40. When during my journey, I went to a school called Missouri School for the Blind. The best decision a person could have, I would say the Missouri School for the Blind was very much excellent in this way, because one, it gave you an opportunity to meet other people that have the same crisis that you have. What is that crisis? Visual loss. There was a poll that was taken, and they said, if there was a disability, which one would you least like to have? Every year is to go blind. They don't care what their disability is, but they want to see it. So this gives you a chance to be able to be around people to let you know that it's going to be okay in the future and that you're not an alien, that there are other people with your disability. And not only that, but it gave you inspiration. When I was going to school back in 1983, they gave you two options. You could either be in sports or you can learn music. And let me tell you, the mentors that I had at this time was Mr. Edwards as my wrestling coach, Mr. Schrock as my gym coach, Mr. Cullerton, who was Mr. Everything to everybody, as well as Mr. Bob McQuay. And he was the one that came to my house from Kansas City and told me some of the things that Missouri School for the Blind had to offer, such as if you was to do sports, that you would be able to go to different states and be able to wrestle other people that were visually impaired. And if you did something real good in the state, that they had another program called USABA, which stands for United States Association for Blind Athletes. Miss Woman would kill me if I pronounced this wrong. And when you did this, you competed nationally. And if you did well nationally, then you could go internationally, which was called the Paralympics. I'm quite sure that you might heard of Paralympics. If not, this is not Special Olympics, but these are people who might be amputees, totally blind, those kind of things like that. And you would compete all over the world. Like, for example, I've been to the 1988 Olympics, the 1992 Olympics. We got to visit with the Dream Team. There was times that Magic and Charles Barkley came and cheered for us, wrestling. I got to in the Seoul, Korea, 1988. Mike Tyson, believe it or not, was an Olympic person, and he lost. Can you believe he lost the Olympics? And the controversial thing, and the whole thing was in boxing, was Roy Jones went against a South Korean, and Roy Jones won the fight hands down, but they gave the gold medal to the South Korean, Seoul Korean participant. So it was just wild. But all these kind of things, and I've met a lot of great people on my journey, it gave you very little time to feel sorry for yourself. Also, what it did is that it built character as well. Can you imagine going somewhere by yourself, away from your mom and your dad at the age of 12, 13 years old, and being supervised by someone that isn't your mother for 5 or 6 years? This gives you time to be able to identify with yourself. Not only that, but it gives you a great time to make you a problem solver, you know, and then also it gives you a chance to put trust in other people other than your family.
Wow. That's really quite a perspective that you wouldn't think about as far as losing your sight when you're younger and how much more adaptive you are than when you're older as well. And what amazing opportunities sounds like that actually presented, you know, for you.
Yeah, oh man, I would tell you that during this journey too, we got the opportunity to see a lot of famous people. For example, like there's times when we was at the Olympics that we got a chance to talk to Flo Jo, as well as her cousin Jackie Joyner Kersee from East St. Louis. I got the chance to talk to Carl Lewis when he was the fastest man in the world, broke the record. I got a chance to talk to him. If y'all recall, Carl Lewis did take me out to the ball game in Chicago. Chicago always had a little thing in the seventh inning that they would have either Harry Carey or a celebrity do take me out the ball game in the middle of the seventh inning. Well, Carl Lewis did it. And I advise anyone to Google Carl Lewis doing take me out to the ball game in Chicago and how horrible he sounded, boy. Oh, and I teased him about it and teased him about it. He's like, I'm better now. Oh, yeah. So, but there's been chances that you do get an opportunity. Like in USABA, there was a time that we had a master of ceremonies like Marty Hall, the Let's Make a Good Deal, the original Let's Make a Good Deal. He was the MC. That was a great time. There was a time that Wilt Chamberlain was the MC. He did the whole master of ceremony with me sitting on his shoulders talking about, who do you think got the best seat in the house? I was like 14 years old. I only weighed like 114 pounds, but I had like 5 gold medals and stuff like that. So it was just a great time. Just, you know, and what it does also, though, it builds your communication skills as well. And it also lets you know with sports and with music that everyone doesn't learn the same way all the time. So it gives you another way to try to communicate, just not just one way, but to be able to understand the person or the audience that you're talking to.
Absolutely. Well, are you still active in sports presently? Is there any that you like to do?
Yeah, mentally, there was a time I played beatball. Oh man, it's the most wonderful game that you can play. It's blind baseball if you've never seen it. And what it is that the bases, you have a first base and a third base, no second base. So the object of the game is this, is that the person is pitching, they can see, and the catcher can see. Everybody else is blindfolded. Everybody in the field is blindfolded, and the batter is blindfolded, okay? So there's a command, two commands, ready and pitch. During that time, you have to be able to time to swing the bat to hit the ball. Now, once you connect with the ball, then what happens is the ball is going to be beeping. It has a different sound of the beeping than what the bass would have. The bass is also going, but the ball is going to beep, 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 two different sounds. If you get the ball before the batter reaches either first or third base, this is an out. If the runner reaches first or third base before the ball is secured, then that's a run. And object of the game, I guess, is to make sure that you have more hits than outs to win the game. And make it so bad, they have a World Series of this, too. Miss Wilma had a team that goes there. There's several people, if you talk about beatball in St. Louis or Kansas City, that would know and have played the game. It's a very fun game. But my playing days are very much over with now. If I fall down and break something, it might take me forever to get back healthy. So... I leave that for the young people.
Wasn't there a sport that you played at the Missouri School for the Blind at the Children's Summit? Was there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you again. If you get an opportunity, please, please go and visit Missouri School for the Blind and talk to the superintendent, Mr. Bourne. He is such a great guy. And yeah, and when you talk to him, ask him to show you the seven-seater tandem. This is great. And once you see this, you're going to have a great time. But the game that was planned was called goal ball. And What it is, it's pretty much like body soccer. And you have three people in front of the net on each side. And what they try to do is that you got a ball that's about the size of a basketball. And inside of it, it's got little bells. You know, that those little bells that you put on your cat so you know where it is, so you don't step on it. The little jingly bells. Well, these little jingly bells is in the ball. And what the object is that you got to try to roll this ball past the people to try to get into a hockey net. It's just a fun, fun game. This is also a fun game. Now, I did play that, but I laid on the floor and played it because I'm telling you what, boy. My coach, Mr. Erisman, he's another great guy. And it was because of him, Mr. Erisman. He's the mobility instructor at Missouri School for the Blind. Been there forever. He is so good. There was times that I was struggling. I had moved out from Missouri School for the Blind into an apartment. And there was times I would just skip school. I didn't even think about school. Could care less about school. And Mr. Ashman would come and get a tandem and come and knock on my door and say, come on out of here. It's time to go to school. I used to be so scared. I used to get dressed and get on the tandem and go to school. I remember those days. And people like that at Missouri School for the Blind that gave it care. If someone believes in you, things for it's endless for the person that is being believed on. And just because Mr. Erishman and Mr. Cullerton and all my mentors believed that I was going to be better, that attitude got me to where I was summa cum laude at Washington University. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's just amazing what people can do if someone believes in another person.
It is. That's incredibly inspiring, which kind of leads to your work with Missouri Council of Blind. Yeah, you're starting a new committee for the next generation called Next Gen, and I wanted to see if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, sure. You know, I'll tell you what, this is a great concept that we have for Missouri Council of the Blind. It was started up last year. It was on hiatus, but we're starting it up again this year, and it's just so wonderful to be able to talk to young people or to try to recruit young people. Now, you say, what's young people? To us, it's the next gen, and that's from 40 to 18. And we would love to be able to tap into this resource, not only just for now, but just for the future of the voice of Missouri Council of the Blind. We would like to be able to shake the hands and be able to introduce the future presidents, future secretaries, future advocates for Missouri Council of the Blind. We do know that in our member at large, that this is a great pool to come from. And we want to bring those people that we can from that to make them form their own organization where their voice can be able to be heard. And the decisions that they make will be their own decisions with the guidance of Missouri Council of the Blind.
That'll be great. I'm really looking forward to that.
Could you talk a little bit more about the age range for Next Gen and the classifications?
Sure. You know what? We were thinking about this. We was going to break it down into three categories. And again, the age is going to be from 18 to 40. And in that, we would have three categories. The first category does not have to be written in stone, but we had called it gearhead. And this is going to be from the ages of 18 to 24. And we think that the people who would love to be able to work on video games, and if there's a video game, and if they're good at coding, we would like to be able to make a lot of video games accessible so other visually impaired people can get into the video game world. This is a great world. We know that there's a lot of visually impaired people who love to be able to play the video games. And there are some games right now. I play Mortal Kombat. I am so thrilled with Mortal Kombat. Oh, my God. Oh, also, I like Madden, too. And these are games that are accessible for visually impaired, totally blind people who can play one another. And not only that, but take their skills and play on the internet against sighted people.
Wow, I did not know that. That's incredible.
We also want to be able to produce an app that could be for visually impaired people that to put their talents on here. So if we need a Rolodex, if we need someone who is very capable of web designing, we will have that. And not only that, but we also want to make other apps just accessible for visually impaired people. And we want to be able to make a mark in this area to be trailblazers so other organizations can follow our organization. And our second category would be First Vision. The First Vision category is going to be from 18 to 40. And what this is that if we want these people who would love to dip and dab in politics to be able to conquer or try to tackle the ADA, the ADA Act is just really used against visually impaired people. It's so amazing that when you go talk to them and say, yeah, well, the ADA, and they know more about the ADA than we do, and they say, well, this is all we have to do. So we would like our future voices to be able to tackle something like this and also be a champion to get back DEI so people with disability can be able to have another fighting chance out in the mainstream world.
So to clarify, you're talking about maybe like teaching them how to advocate about the legislation, that education advocacy, basically in politics and what's going on in the world, what's going on in the country.
Right. Well, first, what we would do is that we would have a definition of what we're looking for. And then what we would do is that we would have assignments to go with locally, state, and federally. ACB would be the federal hand if they want to be able to do something federal. But we definitely would love for them to be here statewide and be an advocate where they are, like Joplin, as well as Kansas City, as well as St. Louis. Then what we would do is also is to get them prepared to be able to speak. We're going to be offering things like Toastmasters, competition, things like, of this sort, to make sure that they're going to be the first line of defense. So we want to make sure that when they do talk to the public, that they would sound more educated than someone that just came off the street. We are judged by the words that we speak, and we're also judged by how many times we say when we talk. That's unfair. But we would just want to make sure that we come off when we represent Missouri Council of the Blind to be the best that it can be.
Well said. I agree with that.
Oh, one more thing. And then the last thing is going to be from 24 to 40. And this, forgive me, I don't remember the name of this one, but this group is going to be talking about entrepreneurship, as well as if they would like to be able to go to college. And everyone does not like to work for everyone. There was a time that I did work, and there was a time I was ambitious, and I wanted to prove to everybody that a visually impaired person can just do the just as amount of good work as anybody out there. Then after a while, after you do that for so long, and it looked like you're in a dead-end job, that there's no promotion coming because they think this is the only thing that you can do, then you become a little fed up, and you're like, you know, I'd rather work for myself. So we want to capture those people who might want to do this, and we would like to have resources or let them know there are avenues that's out there. If you want to do college, we do have scholarships, and we will show you how to look for other scholarships to help you on your journey if you would like to go to college, as well as if you would like to be an entrepreneur, we will show you that there's like small business loans, as well as RSB. There are organizations other than RSB that can be able to help you get you to your dream.
And the Next Gen doesn't exclude people over 40. The people over 40 and over are considered mentors of the participants, correct?
Correct. So we want to make sure that we have everyone that's going to be involved, new members, older members, younger members. This is something that we would like to have the brainstorming of everyone to be able to ensure that our voice in the future understand what we need from them. And so if there's someone that has knowledge that's 41 or 91 that can give us some insight about how the next gen can better be, we want them to listen. But we also want to be able for the next gen to be able to have their own voice kind of as well. We don't want them to say, hey, we're our own entity and we don't have to listen to MCB. But we do want to be able to give them a firm hand to understand that we have been here before, and these are the bumps in the road that you better look out for.
Definitely.
So what would you say to somebody who's newly blind and unsure about joining an organization like MCB?
I would say to the person, don't judge the first meeting and don't even judge the second meeting. Understand that you do have needs, and everyone has needs. And if I would say that you should go to an organization that best fits your needs. Also, when you go to a meeting, I would like to say, kind of listen, but also don't be scared to ask questions, because your voice might be the voice that could be the difference in the organization being just pretty good to real good. So we do want to make sure that the voices is heard, but we don't need an outsider to stay an outsider all the time. At some point in time, we love for the outsider to come into a situation to where they're in, with the in crowd, as to say. And I would say to also this is that don't just visit one. If you cannot physically go to them, you can still be a member at large, but go to some other ones and just see which one soup tastes best to you.
Is there something that people might be surprised to learn about you?
I would say this. I think that everybody pretty much know Danny Lawrence, or heard of a story about Danny Lawrence. And just like anybody else, back when I was young, I did think I was the sharpest tool in the shed, or the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I used to do mischief things. And at that time, when you're 20 years old, 15, 20 years old, and I think that's when most of the people that know me, the thing that you don't think about is that the things that you did then probably will go with you for a very long time. I would think that the people who knew me at STAT would be very surprised that I was summa cum laude at Washington University. They was like, no, not for real, but yeah, and make it so bad. I am on YouTube. My graduation is on YouTube. So I do have proof that, yes, I did graduate from Washington University summa cum laude. I think the one thing that people that would be shocked to know about me is that I do listen. How about that? I do listen. Yeah, I do really do listen. Even when I'm talking, I am listening pretty much, though, for real.
Awesome. I'd like to transition to a couple messages for our listeners. What do you wish the public understood better about blindness?
I would say this about blindness. For the people who are blind, I would like to say, whenever you walk outside your door, you're an ambassador for other blind people. And sometimes, what does this mean? There's sometimes that you can be independent to get across the street and do the task that you do. But again, you are an ambassador for other visually impaired people. And sometimes taking that help and the way that you refuse help will make that person that's asking for help be apprehensive to ask another blind person, do they need help? So when we do something, or if you don't need help, say, hey, you know what? Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Or if they even guide you wrong, you know what I'm saying? It's the way that you correct people when you're correcting. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like bedside manners. There's only one way to give the shot, but there's two ways how you give it. You can say, oh, it's coming. Now be careful. Here it come. Or take it right here. Whammo. All right. And put the Band-Aid on real hard. You know, I just think that sometimes visually impaired people wants to be independent so much that sometimes they might be a little cruel to the helper that don't understand what blindness is. I think that we all can be teachers at all the time. Now, to the people who might be going blind, and I just say this to you, be strong, have a little faith, and if you mess up, don't get down on yourself too hard. Sit down, rest for a second, and just try it again. Nothing beats failure but a try. And not only that, but you know what? It's always good to even have either a mentor or a friend that had the same condition that you do have. So someone can understand when you say that, you know what, I got up, I was at somebody's house, got up, going to the restroom and ran into a wall. Now, somebody that was not visually impaired would not understand that. But I guarantee you that someone that's visually impaired, totally blind, might have been in a situation where they went to sleep, forgot that they was at someone's house, to go to the restroom and ran into something. Boom. Maybe not a wall, or maybe somebody might have, you got two shoes that are the same, but two different colors. And you walk out with one green and one orange shoe, but thinking that you got matching shoes on. These kind of things. When you talk to someone like that that has been through the experience, you can laugh at it and stuff like that and come up with a different solution to better so that doesn't happen again. But if you go deal with someone that has never been through your trials and tribulations, then there's no advice that they can give you.
That's what's great about MCB.
Oh, man, it's the best thing in the world. You know what? And it's only getting better.
Sharing our experiences and how we get through it can be real inspiring for other people. I think it does help. And you telling your story is really, it's really inspiring.
And we do have opportunities from, we have town hall meetings where we can meet people all over the state at one time and get to know one another. We do have moments at the beginning and after the meeting where you can conversate with people and get to know one another. And we also have it on Fridays as well with the Connect, Community Connect. I think Tracy does a real good job with that, as well as Debbie and whoever controls the line on that thing. That's just awesome, though. That's just very good.
Yeah, we get some good guests once in a while on Fridays, and sometimes we just talk, and it's good. It's helpful.
To the members or member at large, if you know anyone that would love to be a part of the next generation, we'd love to be able to have your talents. And if you don't have a talent, please come, because we would love to be able to teach you a talent so that you can be able to pass your gift to another person. And again, we would love to be able to boost our membership, and we would love to be able to boost our voice, because we would love to be able to be the voice to be reckoned with when they say Missouri Council of the Blind, and it means something. And only way that we're going to be able to get this is by having members to be able to join. And please do not be scared to join. We would love to have you. We want to be able to hear your voice. And if you have a thought, we do have brainstorming time as well. And you can either send your email to Danny Lawrence. My email is AVEKET, that's AVKET, play on words, 70@gmail.com. Or you can send it to our chair of membership, which is Felicia Booker.
Yes, my email is fbooker, B-O-O-K-E-R, 5377@gmail.com.
Right. Or if you got a PR advice.
Deb, D-E-B, Plattner, P-L-A-T-N-E-R, 1@yahoo.com.
And then I would like to say again, whatever y'all do, don't join tomorrow. Please join today. And we need you yesterday. So please come. Whatever you do, if this podcast makes you laugh at any time, please tell someone about Next Gen. Thank you.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for being on with us today. We appreciate you taking the time to do an interview with us.
Definitely.
Well, that's it for our episode today of Unsightly Sessions.
Thank you to Danny Lawrence for joining us today.